Hope you've all had a great week. This morning, we're going to carry on with our series in Esther, and we're going to look at Esther chapter 4. And I'm going to go through it line by line. So I'm going to read the scripture to you, and then we're going to just pick out some things that God did speak to us. Esther is an amazing story. I love it. It really is so exciting. So many kind of twists and turns and miraculous things that God does. And it's really, really exciting. And two things that stood out for me as I was reading this chapter were calling and courage. It's something that I see in the life of Esther, and I want to encourage you in as well. About what's your calling? Do you realize you're called as a child of God? You're called to great things. You're called to do great things. You're called to serve Him, and also courage. You know, to be courageous, to be a courageous Christian. Courageous Christian. So to have courage is something that I really want to encourage you with this morning. Because it's very difficult to step out in your calling if you don't recognize that God has actually enabled you and equipped you to do that. And so as I'm looking out here at you all, there is something in God for each and every one of you. It's amazing. It's exciting what God has got for every single one of us. And it's going to be different for each of us. But there is a calling upon you, and God wants to stir us up this morning to be courageous for Him. So Esther chapter 1, I'm just going to go through it quite quickly. Esther, 4, verse 1. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the city and cried out in a loud and bitter cry. Okay, so why is he behaving like this? Well, if you can remember that Mordecai had just heard that things had got really bad, that an order had been sent out by the king that all of the Jews should be killed, and it meant death for him. It was not a good time. I mean, that kind of news is not great to get, so things look really bleak. But what made it even worse for him was that it was a result of his actions, how he behaved to Haman. And so now he is seeing that the result of his actions meant that not only was he in danger of being killed, but the whole of the nation now was facing something that was really devastating. The whole thing is kicking off because he wouldn't bow down, wouldn't worship Haman, wouldn't give, wouldn't honor and worship this man-made human god. So it was bad. Things could not get any worse than this. I mean, I don't know what you're facing, and if you faced tough things in your life, but this was a toughie. This was pretty horrific. And so it's a terrible situation, but you know, but God had a different plan. Isn't that incredible? I mean, things looked terrible. Not only was he facing death, but the whole nation was facing death. It was about as bleak and as bad as it could be, yet God had another plan. And when I think about God, God's character hasn't changed, his nature hasn't changed, his intentions haven't changed towards us. So, you know, life may be fantastic and rosy for you right now, but if you are facing a challenge, I want to say that God's got a plan and God's got a purpose, and God is an expert at bringing something beautiful out of disaster. Sometimes things look so bleak, and this is what I love about Esther, is that this is a really practical book of somebody that went through difficulties and hardship, but she pressed into God. She didn't give up. She was courageous, and she knew that there was more on her life than just to end up being annihilated with the Jewish nation. So God saves, God redeems, God rescues, God's got a plan, God's trustworthy, God will deliver. That's what he was and that's who he is today. Do you believe it? Yes. That's who he is. He's a deliverer. That's what God does, and that's the God that you walk with every day. Now, I wonder if Mordecai had any regrets. If only I hadn't said what I'd said, or if only I didn't do what I did. I mean, perhaps I should have just given in. Perhaps I should have just compromised and made life easy for myself. Guys, never, ever, ever regret doing the right thing. Never, ever, ever regret standing up for truth. Never, ever, ever give in to what other people say. You know, there are always consequences to what we do, but there are consequences when we do the right thing, and there are consequences when we do the bad thing. Good consequences when we do the right thing, and we reap the benefit, sometimes, of the negative decisions that we make. Never, ever, ever compromise doing the right thing. Verse 2, he went as far as the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. So here's Mordecai. It must have been quite a spectacle. He's walking around in sackcloth and ashes. He's wailing. Walking around the city. You know, it's not a good day for him. And it says that he could only get to a certain part, because the king at that time was protected. He was protected physically. So, you know, like nowadays we have bodyguards. And I remember when I met Prince Charles, and Prince Charles is actually smaller than me. So he's a little guy, but he had massive big bodyguards. And you know, every time I nudged a bit closer, his bodyguards. You know, you don't mess with those guys. They've got guns and all sorts of. But at this time, they weren't only protected physically, but they were also protected emotionally as well. They wouldn't let people come into the presence of the king who were bringing bad news or who were miserable. And I will talk about that in a minute. So there was a limit to the point of how close he could go to the king. Hebrews 4 tells us that we don't have a king like that. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, we can come boldly before the throne of our king to obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. So we have got a king where we can run to with both our struggles, but also with our victories. I'm so glad that that the Holy Spirit doesn't say, stop there. Miserable, happy. Happy? Okay, you can come into the presence of God today. Now, I can come straight in to the presence of God, and there's no barrier. Verse 3, and in every province where the king's command and decree had arrived, so the decree had gone out that all the Jews should be killed, because they were saying that these people are disrespectful, they don't honor the king. So this decree had gone out, and it says there were great mourning, this is verse 3, great mourning among the Jews with fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Mordecai wasn't the only one who was mourning. All of the Jews in every province were weeping and wailing. And it says that they were fasting as well. And there was an acknowledgement of God in their situation. And I'm sure, although it doesn't say that they were praying, I'm sure that there was prayer as well going on as they cried out to God for deliverance. And, you know, again, this shows that even the most desperate, and I want to encourage you, even in the most desperate of situations, God is not removed. And, you know, it's often as we look back that we can find God in those desperate, dark, difficult situations. We find God. Those are the places where he is. You know, because God is near to the brokenhearted. He's near to those that are in desperate situations. And isn't it good to know that God hasn't and will never leave us or forsake us? We know that is easy to say it, but that's the truth. And to encourage you, if you're going through a difficult time, you know, just look and see and recognize, actually, you're not on your own, that God's with you. God is with you. Okay, so verse 4. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. So she's saying, Mordecai is walking around wailing in the city. He's walking around like a crazed man, sackcloth and ashes, crying out. So they go and tell the queen. And so she sends garments to clothe him and take his sackcloth away from him, but he wouldn't accept them. So she hears via a messenger, this is what's going on. So she sends out aid to try and help him. And verse 5, then Esther called Hattash, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend to her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. Interesting, because obviously the palace was kept separate. So this news, this message of this decree that was to go out that all the Jews were to be killed hadn't gone into the, or they had not heard of it in the palace. And because Esther, she cares for Mordecai, she sends Hattash, one of the king's eunuchs, to find out what was wrong with him and why he was so upset. Okay, verse 6 and 7. So Hattash sent out to Mordecai in the city square that he was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. Do you remember when we first started speaking about the book of Esther, about this king, how wealthy he was, how much authority he had, the millions and millions of miles of land that he was over? And it's an interest to me that money seems to be one of the driving things in this plot. He says, I'll put money into the king's treasury, so that the Jews can be killed. I don't know why was he so motivated by money when he seemed to have all the wealth in the world. So it's a funny thing. Verse 8. He also gave him, that's Mordecai gave to Hattash, a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, so that he might show it to Esther and explain to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead for her people. That's verse 8. So as proof of what's happening, he gives Hattash a copy of the edict, and so that there's proof. So it wasn't just, he wasn't making an accusation, it was proof. And he gives documentary evidence to Hattash for then it to be given to Esther. And the end of verse 8, it says some words, really significant words, to plea for, what does it say? To plea with him for, not a trick question, you just need to read the last line. To plead with him for her people. What's happened? Oh dear, the secret is out. She'd probably been, I think if we remember, we were saying about all the lotions and potions and all the stuff that all the ladies went through when they first went into the king's palace. And I think it's about a year, I think we said, that she was in there for, having her nails done and sort of bathing in milk and whatever they do, and hair braided and I don't know what they do. What do they do? So she was there for a whole year, and having all of that done, and so. But all of that time, she'd kept who she was secret, and then she married, and she became the queen. She still kept her identity secret. So Mordecai tells Hattash, go and tell Esther, go to the king, plead for your people. Something changed at that moment. Now she was in danger. All the time she was the queen, she was in the palace. Life was good for her. Now something had been exposed. Verse 9-11. So Hattash returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hattash and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go in to the king these 30 days. So she says, I can't go into the king and plead for mercy unless he calls me. I mean, wives, you think that you may have a hard time with your husband? I mean, this was the wife, and unless he calls her to come in to his presence. He's not called me to come into his presence for 30 days. I can't, even as the queen, can't go in and speak to my husband. She knew that if she went in without permission, that she would be instantly killed if he didn't want to see her. Wow, that is pretty awesome, isn't it? Pretty heavy duty. Do you remember Nehemiah? Who likes that story? I love the story of Nehemiah. Just Joy and Brian are the only ones that know Nehemiah, no, I'm sure. I love that story. And, you know, talking about how the king was protected. Do you remember it? And he was the cupbearer. And he couldn't go into the king's presence unless he had a smile on his face. And do you remember? And he said, I can't go into the king's presence because I'm feeling sad. And if I go into the king's presence, then yeah, he has the right to kill me. I mean, not only are you, I guess you, there are some perks of the job because you get to drink the wine. So, you know, have a few glasses of wine, I suppose. But if the wine was poisoned, not such a good job. But this was how the king was protected. And he said, even as those people that working for the king couldn't go into the, they had to go into the king's presence with the right attitude, so that he would be protected. And so there were all of these kind of protocols of ways to approach the king, and even for her as a wife, what she could do. So she says that I'm not able to go in. But verse 13, so 12 and 13, Mordecai's response is to her. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. So not even her, being the king's wife, was going to be able to get away with murdered with the other Jews in that nation. And I'm sure that Haman didn't know that this plot would, at the time when he spoke to Mordecai, he didn't know that it would somehow involve the queen. And I don't know what he would have said if he did know that it would have involved the queen. But you know, what I see in this situation is that God placed Esther in an amazing position right at that time to see a deliverance of God work through her. And you know, God raises up people, doesn't he? He raises up people that can be influential. He raises up ambassadors to represent him. And do you know that that is what God has called you to do? Sometimes we can just look at ourselves and you can just think, if only that person who's speaking really knows what's in my heart, he wouldn't be saying these things. But you know, that is the calling of God upon your life as a Christian. You have a great calling upon your life, and I'm speaking it knowing a lot of you, if not all of you. I'm speaking it over you. There is an incredible calling that God has placed on every single one of you to serve him. And it's going to be in different ways, in different scenarios and in different situations. But there is a calling in God upon your life to serve the King of Kings. And it's not a small thing. It's a great and exciting thing that God's called us. He wants people that are going to be influenced for his kingdom, people that are going to influence the kingdom. And you know, he does it through you. So you can just look at the person sitting beside you or behind you. Just have a little look. Smile at them. Everyone can just look at Pete over there, because Pete's got his head down. Yeah, hi Pete, yeah. Now we know that you're diligently following it on your phone. Yes, Pete, you're a blessing, and you're an influencer for the kingdom of God. Every single one of you is. It's amazing. Verse 14, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So this verse is a key verse in the whole book of Esther. And it really talks about the power of a devoted life. The power of one life given to God wholeheartedly to serve him. The power of one person willing to be used by God. The power of one person who would dare to believe that God could use them, even if they don't feel special, and even if they don't feel worthy. You know, I'm sure that there are many reasons why loads of people could just say, but God couldn't use me because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this. You're worthy, not because of what you do, but because Jesus has made you worthy. He's made you acceptable. That's what the cross has done. That's what the blood of Jesus has done. So you are worthy. You are qualified. Not because whether you think it or not. That is who Christ has made you. You understand? He's made you. He's made you righteous. He's made you acceptable. He's called you. So whether you feel like it or not, it is spiritually that has taken place. He is the one who qualifies you. We're not righteous in our own standing. However good we try to live our lives, actually our goodness is as filthy rags to God if it is outside of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. A person isn't going to give up. Someone isn't going to step away from what God has called them. It's trusting in God, that God is in complete control. And, you know, I think when we look at the life of Esther, she may not have wanted to do the things that God called her to do, but she stepped up and said, God, I'm willing to serve you and to follow your leading. Maybe she just wanted to be an ordinary girl. Maybe she would have rather stayed at home and watched Coronation Street. Maybe she thought, you know, this is too much. Maybe she thought of herself as nothing special. Maybe she thought of herself as just somebody average. Does that sound familiar? Is that how you and I think of each other? Sometimes I think like that. And then sometimes I have to kind of like slap myself around the face and say, no, you're called. You're chosen. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. He wants to use me. And I want to encourage you that God wants to use you as well. And we talked about courage and calling. So we got to know that we're called to step into the calling that God's got for us. Because if we don't know we're called, we're just going to sit there and just...
What do I do?
Now you're called. It's a calling upon your life. And sometimes that calling means that you have to step out and take faith risks. Now, I'm not saying being crazy, but sometimes, you know, God calls us to step out and to take faith risks, to be courageous, to do things that maybe are outside of our comfort zone. Or we know that God is calling us to do, but maybe in the past we've resisted those things. But, you know, when we step out and when we're courageous and when we realize that we're called and we step into the things that God is calling us to do, you know, her life, today we're talking about Esther. People all over the world have been talking about this lady called Esther. People for generations have been talking about her life and what she did. You know, the reason what we're talking about it is because she was courageous. I mean, if she had backed down and just didn't follow what God, we wouldn't be talking about her. There's a book in the Bible called Esther. It's a good name, isn't it? There's a book in the Bible. There's not a book in the Bible called Steve Fishpool. But there is a Bible. There is a book in the Bible called Esther, because she was courageous. And because she knew that she wasn't going just to settle for an ordinary life and existence. You know, the Christian walk is a faith walk. God doesn't always reveal his perfect will and let us see the destiny of where we're going to. But you know, what he asks us to do is to trust him, to take a step of faith and allow him to guide us step by step by step. That's the Christian walk. It would be fantastic if we could lay it all out in a nice document. Step one, step two, step three, step four. And at the end of step 20, this is where I'm going to be. But the Christian walk isn't like that. It's every day trusting him, every day following him, every day listening to him, every day being obedient to him, every day stepping through the doors that he opens, every day saying, God, I'm here to be used by you, every day just walking with him. And sometimes the road takes bends and it's up the hill and it's down the hill and we're just following him. But we're following him because there's a call upon our lives. You understand what I mean? Perhaps God has placed you in a job environment, in a school, in a family situation where things seem to be overwhelming you. Perhaps you may have questioned God, why am I here? What are you doing, God? Can't I be placed somewhere different? Can't I do something different where I could see you work perhaps even at a deeper level through me? Isn't there something easier that you have for me to do? Why am I in this situation? Listen to this. I think Esther could have easily said that. Why have you allowed me to marry a pagan king, be taken from my family, to live in a palace where I feel more like a prisoner than a queen? I mean, she had some things to complain about. And it wasn't all roses. Yet, you know, the thing I see in here, she doesn't complain. She doesn't blame God. She doesn't speak negatively about God. She calls for prayer, calls for fasting. And one of the lessons that I get from this is that let's realize that we can see God work in every area of our life if we expect it. Do you expect it? Tomorrow, well, you won't be going to, because it's bank holiday tomorrow morning, but Tuesday morning, off to work. Wow. Woohoo! What is God going to do today through me? How am I going to be an influencer? Well, I'm going to work in an office, or I'm going to school, or I'm going to college, or I'm going to go and clean the toilets or whatever it is that we do. How's God, what's God going to do? What doors is God going to open today? What people am I going to be able to help or love or just give a kind word to? What things are, there's a calling upon my life. I'm called by God. There's a calling upon my life. So, I'm excited. I'm expectant. I'm looking for the things that God's got for me today. I don't care what he's got for somebody else. What's God got for me today? How's God going to use me? And I think it would be wonderful if we had that expectation. There's a calling upon your life. You know, ultimately, it's not your location. It's not your wife. It's not your job. It's not your kids. It's not your church. It's not your money that are going to determine your happiness. But you know, the attitude that we apply when we go through difficult times can determine our future success. So take some faith risks. God's brought you to where you are now. It's been a very long journey. You've all been brought to through a whole lot of series of different events, and a whole lot has happened in every single one of your lives, isn't it, to get you to the point where you are now. So look back, thank God for his faithfulness. And you know, there's so much more to come in the future that God's got for you. So there are opportunities to witness to family members, opportunities to reach those people that maybe you are at work with. As I say, a smile, a word of God, an encouragement. Can I pray for you? There's so much that God can use us to influence others. But we have to realize that you're called. You're called. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to preach, but we need to be ready, full of the life of God. Mordecai says to her, be courageous and do what God has called you to do. And if you don't, God will find another means. I'm just coming now, going to be wrapping up shortly. So, as I said, we're celebrating her life. People have talked about her life for generations because of her courage and faith. And Esther had to decide who she was. Was she a pagan queen living a life of luxury and ease? Or was she a young Jewish girl with her life threatened? So, who are you? Are you just somebody that what's God doing in you? How do you see yourself? Are you somebody who's just kind of, yes, well, I'm not really sure what God's called to me, or God could never use me? Or are you going to say, yeah, actually, God could, and I'm willing, and I want him to use me. And I want to step out, and I want to take up the challenge. Verse 15 and 16. So, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days or three nights. My maids and I will fast likewise, and I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Wow. I mean, is that courageous? I mean, I'm gonna do the thing that is difficult and I don't want to do, but I'm going to go and I'm going to do it because this is what God is calling me to do. So this wasn't a normal fasting. You know, normal fasting for the Jews was just fasting for a 12-hour period. But she says, we're going to fast for 3 whole days and nights. So this was something pretty radical. What does it show? Her reliance wasn't upon herself. Her reliance was upon who? Was upon God. You know, because, and they must have prayed. You know, fasting without prayer doesn't do anything apart from you lose a bit of weight. So they fasted, and I'm sure they came before God. They said, God, please deliver us. Please deliver us a nation and give grace and give boldness to Esther. They were crying out to God for the salvation of their nation. Last scripture, 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So Mordecai also went and fasted and prayed, and made sure that everyone he knew that was also fasting as well. When all seemed against the Jews, they didn't run, but they ran after and sought God. You know, if you need a breakthrough in your life, prayer is a great place to start. Prayer is a great place to get victory and see God's miraculous power break out. You know, I heard Joyce Meyer once say, when you have problems, don't run to the phone, but run to the throne. You know, say, you know, when we've got a problem, I'll go to Facebook. Or I'll get on the phone and I'll... I thought it was such a very simple thing, isn't it? When you have a problem, run to the throne of God. Run to Him. Pray. Seek God. Get God's perspective on it. It's good to have friends. Call your friends after you've sought God first. Get God's perspective. You know, when problems come, press into God. Dig into His Word. Unearth the promises of God. Remind yourself. Speak to yourself. Preach to yourself. Quote Scripture to yourself. If you're feeling like you're going to amount to nothing, speak scriptures that counteract the lies of the enemy. If you feel that you're in fear and that you've got anxiety, get into the Word of God and start to speak and quote Scripture over your life to counteract the lies of the enemy. What did Jesus do? Matthew 4 verse 3, when the tempter came to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. You know, and Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is written. Yes, but no, it is written that you're called, that you're acceptable, that you're loved by God. I don't feel loved. It is written, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. It is written. What does the Word say about your situation? Get the Word, speak it over your life, counteract the lies of the enemy. I'm never going to amount to anything. You are going to amount to something because God has made you acceptable. You're His child. Favor is upon you. It's amazing. So this becomes our truth. Second time I dropped my pencil. You know, if we want to be strong, then we need to counteract the lies of the enemy because we can't afford just to lie back and let the enemy just assault us. So all the time, whether in good times or bad, get into the Word of God. Speak those words of God. And you know, when you speak the Word of God, the devil has to run. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Dan Chesney. Yeah! He will flee. Okay, just to finish then. Run to God. Be courageous. Know that you're called. You know, most of us feel at some point in our life that we're in a difficult situation where there's no hope. Run to God. Don't give up. Speak words of truth over your life. You know what's going to distinguish you from other people is that you're not going to give up. Can everybody look at me? The thing that is going to distinguish you is that you're not going to give up. Don't give up on God. The thing that is going to distinguish you is that you're not going to bow to pressure. The thing that is going to distinguish you is that you're not going to compromise, that you're going to stand up for what is right. The thing that is going to distinguish you is that you're not going to give in to pressure. The thing that is going to distinguish you is that you're going to trust God to bring order out of difficult and confusing situations. So as you think about this message today, I want to encourage you. Think about being courageous. Think about the situations that you find yourself in. Be encouraged to reach out, to pray, to speak to one another. Connect with people in the name of Jesus. Don't compromise, but stand up for what you believe, whether publicly or privately. Don't compromise in your private lives. Don't compromise in the private place. Be those people that seek God in every way. Recognize the great calling on your life. No one is holding you back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not holding you back. Nobody is holding you back to step into what God has called you to do. God has sent you with power and authority, so don't waste time waiting for something to happen in the future where you feel ready. Move into what God has called you to do now. There's a calling upon your life and He's called you to be courageous. Let's pray.